Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham on AM 770 KTTH. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital Management, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often treacherous financial markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
All right. Welcome back to the show. Thank you so much for joining us. I am fired up. I've got, it's going to be an act of discipline today because, and we've talked about this before, but, you know, leading into the show every week, you know, we're taking notes, we're watching about different things that we want to bring up and we want to discuss. And obviously, you know, one of the biggest reasons we do this show is to promote our firm, to get the name out there, to share our ideas and our philosophies with you guys. And we've obviously partnered with KTTH on purpose because we, how do you say this? we align with the audience. Let's put it that way. And we very much believe, which is counter to most people out there, we believe that when you're in the world of finance, it's very closely aligned with politics, that we have to be looking at both of those things and the way that they interlink. And now, so there is the marketing aspect of it, but there's also the entertainment aspect of it. There's also the interaction aspect of it, which is why, you know, for better or worse, I'm not reading off a script every week. And, you know, I want it to be live. I want it to be organic. But I also want it to be a good show, hopefully, that people enjoy listening to and that learn something from. And so, you know, that today is going to be a perfect example of that. We've got a ton to cover. And some weeks we don't. And a lot of times in those weeks, we'll maybe do a historical piece or, you know, talk about, you know, Bretton Woods and talk about the, you know, the U.S. dollar and talk about historical finance and things like that. This week, I'm just hoping we can get to all of it. And to start it off, so I come with a loaded slate to the studio today. Literally so much that I'm sitting there going, okay, I got to pare this down. A two-hour show would be better. And as I'm walking into the studio here at Cairo headquarters, KTTH headquarters in Seattle, guess who's walks in to the studio right before me? Now, Darren, you don't have to answer because I know you know. Darren, the guy that makes this show worthwhile listening to, our producer, he's also the producer for the Jason Rantz show. And Jason Rantz is interviewing Dan Satterberg, Heroin Dan, today. And I was just informed that Dan Satterberg is to the right of the opponent he's running against. Do you ever sit around and look at the world and just go, what in the world is going on here? Dan Satterberg is to the... So then I sat there and I thought, does that mean that we're going to support Dan Satterberg in the next election? And the first thing I did when I saw Dan Satterberg walk in is I crept around the corner and I was like, please, Todd Herman, be here. Please, Todd Herman, be here. And Todd's not here yet. At least I haven't seen him. Is he here? Oh, boy. Not even, and I get to be a fly on the wall today. I'm just hoping they bump into each other. I wonder if Dan even knows he's Heroin Dan. He's got to by now. Yeah, it's all over Twitter. Anyway, all right. So, wow, there's too many things. Now my brain is spun off on that one because I'm sitting there going, I just hope I get to see them run into each other. Classic fly on the wall scenario. What a lucky day, huh? Anyway, boy, The craziness just keeps on going. I was reading this morning and now how Ben Shapiro, what did he do? Is it a catcall? It's basically they inferred that he was sexually harassing Ocasio-Cortez because he offered to pay $10,000 to a charity of her choice to debate her. I'm sure you guys have heard this. This stuff is just too wild. And I can't remember exactly what the quote was, but I had to include this in the show just because it was so stupefying to me. This is the face of the left, right? This is their new culture warrior. They stroll her out there and she's getting interviewed about the financial viability of socialism, which obviously doesn't exist. The financial viability aspect anyway. And did you see this quote, Darren? Did you see this? They asked her, how are you going to afford universal medicine? And she said, well, because we won't be paying for funerals. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
Immortality.
Right. We should have known that social medicine would actually deliver us immortality. We should have known that, right? Cuba had it right all along. So did Russia. This is, like I said on my Twitter feed, for those of you who don't know, and if you're interested in listening to my Twitter feed or seeing it on there, you can go to @KYR Radio. Know Your Risk Radio, KYR Radio on Twitter. But the caption I put on Twitter was, this is pound yourself in the head with a hammer, stupid. I literally feel like I just want to smack my head against a concrete wall listening to this stuff, right? It's not even a right and left debate anymore. It's just gone completely off the rails.
Have funerals always been government funded too?
I literally don't know. I could talk about this for an hour, but what's the point? You know, it's the old adage, you can't fix stupid. And this is their flagship, right? This is their culture warrior. This is their lead dog. They're literally running around the country to camp. Strange times we're living in, folks. Anyway, I guess at some point we've got to address finance, right? Anyway, on the finance side of it, there's a ton going on there too. We're going to mix the market update up a little bit this week. We're going to talk about Tesla. Have to do it. Maybe you guys don't want to talk about Tesla, but I do. I just find it endlessly fascinating. And there were fireworks there. Crazy action going on in the bond markets. One of the most interesting things, and we're going to do that. We have a segment coming up. I think it's the third or fourth segment of the show called Currency Wars. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with that terminology, but I'm kind of stealing the name of the book that was written by Jim Rickards called Currency Wars. And one of the reasons that the market is down today, and I hate it when people say there's reasons, because markets do whatever they want to do and oftentimes don't need a reason for it. But one of the biggest reasons the market is down today is because Turkey's currency is in free fall. And that is a very, very interesting and very, very topical thing that people are talking about, yet I don't see them connecting the dots. And this plays right into some, and not just this, other tweets that Trump has put out, other stories I've seen surrounding what Trump and the Chinese quote-unquote trade wars are going to do, and the role currency plays in that. So we're going to deep dive into that in Currency Wars, which is going to be the third or fourth segment today. But as far as the market update, that's obviously part of it. The other thing that's interesting is we had some surprisingly weak crude draws. And by crude draw, what we mean is we've got these, you know, we've got ports of call, Texas, Louisiana, all these places where crude oil flows in and out of the country, mostly out of the country now. And it's stored, right? It's stored while it's waiting to be deployed throughout the country or waiting to be shipped. And when we talk about a crude draw or a crude build, we're looking at that inventory of crude. And if the inventory climbs, that's typically a bearish signal for crude, meaning that the inventory climbed is, you know, people weren't using as much oil, right? And oil is a great indicator because of trucking and you know, commerce and all these other kind of things. So there was a surprisingly bearish crude build, which means the inventory's built. That was kind of interesting, and it rocked crude a bit. Let me check the screen here, but I think crude was down a good 5-6% from the highs. Today it's up a little bit, 1%, but we pulled back sharply from that 72 level on crude. We're trading right around 67. very interesting to keep an eye on. The other thing interesting is gold has really been trying to break below $1,200 an ounce, and it keeps bouncing. That's typically a strong sign, but I also think it's really telling right now that we're not seeing a bigger rally in gold today. Gold's basically flat, which ironically I think is really good news, because when you have international tensions like this and increased tariffs that are causing the Turkish lira to drop and all that, what that causes is a flight to safety. And the safest asset, whether right or wrong, philosophically, the safest asset in the world is still considered the U.S. dollar. And we see that reflected today because the U.S. dollar is up 0.8%, which is a pretty big move in currency world. And to see gold hanging in there, because gold is obviously denominated in U.S. dollars, to see gold hanging in there is actually a pretty bullish sign. And boy, markets continue to pick up pace to the downside. We're down 280 on the Dow. So we're watching that. Wanted to get to the Tesla thing in the market update because we didn't have, remember I said we got a deluge of stuff to talk about. Literally 2 to 3 shows worth of stuff. So I didn't want to waste an entire segment on Tesla. The other thing is I realize most of you probably don't even own it, but it's fascinating to me to watch. Elon Musk comes out this week, I believe it was on Monday or Tuesday, and says that he's thinking about taking Tesla private. He's secured funding at $420 a share. Stock goes wild, right? And the reason it goes wild, the stock was trading at 330, 340 or something like that. And what he's implying is he's secured financing. He said financing secured at $420 a share. So that means that a private party would come in and buy all the Tesla shareholders out at $420. But here's the thing, guys. You can't be sure of these things. But this, to me, just reeks of desperation and out-and-out fraud. And I'm one of the guys that said, look, I wouldn't touch Tesla stock with a 10-foot pole. Again, not knocking Tesla owners out there. I love the cars. I think the cars are incredible for the most part. Not a huge fan of the Model 3. I just don't like the way it looks. But Model S, amazing. I think the X is incredible. Big fan. Big fan. But we have to differentiate between product and company. Right? You got to. A perfect illustration of that is I don't have an iPhone. I use a Samsung phone. There's office reasons why we all use Samsungs because it, anyway, not going to get into that. But we own Apple stock, right? Just because we like one doesn't mean we have to go the other. We got to think about this differently. And what might be a great car to own doesn't mean it's a great stock. But what I'm telling you is that watch this, if nothing for the drama, because it has to be nonsense. It has to be nonsense. No private party could buy out Tesla at $70 billion. First of all, no one's got $70 billion in cash that would be willing to spend it. So what you'd see is you'd see what we call an LBO or a leverage buyout. And the way a leverage buyout works, if somebody was really going to buy Tesla, they most likely would have to do it in a leverage buyout. If they did a leverage buyout, the way a leverage buyout works is you go out, let's say we want to buy Tesla, you and us, everybody listening to this show, we put together a group, a consortium, and we go out and we sell a bunch of debt. We basically issue bonds, okay, to everybody, and we agree to pay them a certain amount of interest on those bonds, right? Then we take that money that we raise, that $72 billion, I think is what Tesla would be worth at $420 a share, give or take. It's right around there. Then we take that money and we go buy out Tesla and all the shareholders, okay? The problem with that is, and this is why I think it's just nonsense and my jaw dropped when I saw it, was that Tesla is burning between $3 to $4 billion a year conservatively in cash. How could you possibly afford to pay interest on the debt when you're purchasing a company that's burning through? And it looks like that cash burn is going to jump up to $4 to $5 billion a year. You just couldn't do it. Nobody could justify it. The other thing is not only do they have to, and this is where the cash burn comes in, not only do they have to raise the money for the leverage buyout and then pay the interest on it, they got to stopgap that cash burn. So whatever they purchase the company for, they need a good $10 to $15 billion on hand in cash just to be able to fund the thing going forward for the next 2 to 3 years. So what I think, now here's where it gets really interesting. Musk comes out and tweets that, and one of the common questions out there is, look, why would he say it if it wasn't true? Well, let me tell you. We got a cash burn going on, right? Right now we're in $3.5-4 billion pace, but it's looking like it's going to accelerate to a five, possibly even $6 billion pace within the next 12 months. And cash flow problems, especially for manufacturing companies, are very problematic. So why would he come out and say it if it wasn't true? Well, Tesla has a load of debt that is due to be paid off in 9 months, I want to say. I believe it's March of 2019, something like that. And one of the clauses on that debt is they've got two choices at expiration. Either they pay the debt off, which means they got to come up with another $1 billion of cash from somewhere. And remember, for a company that is burning through $4 to $5 billion a year in cash, that's a problem. Okay? But there's a clause on the debt that makes it convertible into equity, into stock, if the stock price is at or above $360 a share. I think he's trying to just juice the stock. I think they've got a massive cash flow issue. I think he's trying to juice the stock. I think he's reckless. I don't think that they have a board. The guy's a brilliant guy. There's no question about it. Love the cars. Already said that. I just don't want, if you're out there and you love your Tesla, I love it too. Look, I don't want you to turn off the radio in disgust. This is just incredible because this has all of the earmarks of a serious problem, possibly fraud. And this is a bellwether, maybe not a bellwether, but this is a leading stock in the whole stock market ramp. And if he came out and said that he had funding secured and he doesn't, which, like I said, he may have a cash infusion, but he implied he had funding secured to buy the entire company, $70 billion. How in the world can you buy a $70 billion company that's burning through $5 billion a year in cash? I'm just telling you, I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. I literally give that 98% chance of being garbage. Just the numbers don't work. So if he came out and said he's got funding secured, and it juiced the stock, which it did. It made the stock jump 20%. And interestingly enough, it's since fallen back. And it's below that magic $360 mark where the debt converts into equity. And if it stays below 360, remember, he's got to pay that debt off. That's another $1 billion to add onto his cash burn tab in the next year. So if he said that and doesn't have the funding secured, that's a false statement made by the head of a publicly traded company. That's stock manipulation, if not out and out fraud. And that's why my jaw dropped. Well, within 24 hours of him saying that and me having that reaction, they announced that the SEC was looking into it. Now, that doesn't mean anything. Unfortunately, I think the SEC is seen as a much bigger threat to people that aren't in the world of finance than it really is. And I love the work that they do. The SEC is actually a good regulator in terms of what they do. I'm not bashing them. I'm just saying I think they should actually be much more aggressive than they are. I think they can only go after so many different things. I get that. But now the SEC is investigating Musk. And the mind blower here is we're talking about a $60 today, but between a $60 to $70 billion company. This isn't some fly-by-night pharmaceutical firm. Anyway, it's just endlessly fascinating to me. So other than that, broader market, we've had a good run up here these last couple of weeks, but we're still very much in this trading range, and we're going to officially be in this trading range until we break through the all-time highs, which I believe are at, let's see here, S&P, we're at 2873, I want to say is the all-time highs. I think it's 2873. We got as high as 2855, 2856. So it looked like we were just going to run right up there and bust through it, which is it's a very bullish signal when you break through all-time highs. Because very rarely do you break through all-time highs and then stop. It's usually the start of another leg higher. But we continue to be in this trading range. We get back up there and then we suck right back. So anyway, I've gone over as always, and sorry if it seems a little helter-skelter here. I am fired up. There's literally so much to talk about that I can't even wrap my hands around it. I'm still peering out the window to see if I can see a Todd Herman and Dan Satterberg. oh, man, Todd's great. The guy cracks me up. Great guy. Anyway, so stick with us. And as always, if you're interested in the way that we view the world, if you're interested in just talking to us about how we are securing clients' portfolios, lowering risk, lowering cost, improving upside, and we're not just those guys that shove money into a mutual fund. We actually are coming up with unique ideas and unique ways to profit. I'm not going to tout performance day, but the Dow's down 260. Our actively managed portfolio today is up more than 1%. I don't want to get into the specifics of how it's done that, but that's sort of the way that we look at things. And we don't always go up 1% when the Dow's down 1%, but when we do things differently, we do not believe in slapping your money into ETFs or mutual funds and just letting it ride and telling us, hey, you owe us 1% just for holding your hand like everybody else does. And like I've said on the show before, if that's what you're after, if you just want to buy and hold, and I'm not talking about market timing, but if you just want to buy and hold and let it ride and you want to talk to a guy every quarter or whatever, you don't need to pay a financial advisor to do that. You can do it on Betterment. You can do it on Robinhood. You can do it on TD Ameritrade's independent platform. We use TD Ameritrade, but if you want somebody that's actually managing a portfolio and trying to protect your money and being active about the way that they do it and in deploying strategic investments to, you know, actual management and actually trying to improve the result, not just deliver you market performance minus fee, give us a call. 866-779-RISK. We can do a portfolio review over the phone. You can email in a question. We can do email correspondence. You can get our free booklet, Common Sense Investing. And if nothing else, guys, just get a second opinion. If you like the stuff we're talking about, if you like our take on things, if you believe in the intersection of between politics and finance, and you want somebody managing your money that's looking out for the next 2008, 2009, and taking actions to avoid that, and taking, you know, outside the box thinking to protect their clients' investments, give us a call. 866-779-RISK. You can also go to the website at knowyourriskradio.com. It's got a direct link to Bulwark's website, as I said earlier in this segment. You can also follow me on Twitter at KYR Radio. It's a blast interacting on Twitter. Great news source. I'm not a big social media guy. Twitter's the only thing I do. But anyway, so stick around, though. We got a great show coming up. We're going to focus it a little bit more. Forgive my helter-skelter approach here in the first segment. We got a lot coming at us, a lot to talk about. And we're going to talk. Then the segment coming up right now is The Middle Can't Hold, and I'll explain it. Fascinating stuff. Got some really cool information to share with you guys, so stick around. We'll be right back. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
This is Michael Medved. Financial experts will tell you that you should have a plan in place for the high cost of long-term care. If your plan consists of using your savings to pay for any long-term care needs in the future, then take a moment to contact 525 Advisors. 525 Advisors are the local long-term care experts. They will show you how to set up an asset-based plan using a portion of your existing savings. Now, this way you maintain control of your money and you're guaranteed to get your money back even if you don't need long-term care. For every dollar you put in today, 525 Advisors will show you how to get $3 to $4 back in tax-free long-term care protection. Call 525 Advisors today to learn how you can put a portion of your savings to work and protect your family and the rest of your assets from the high costs of long-term care. Call today at 425-748-8188. That's 425-748-8188 and 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. So why risk it? Hey, it's Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer of Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. Call now and get our brand new version of Common Sense Investing. It's our complimentary booklet that shows you how you can protect your retirement portfolio against loss, but still participate in market gains. Safety doesn't have to mean lower returns. Our clients have increased their returns while being insured against loss. And like our client Dory Monson says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning.
I am indeed a client, Zach, and I got to tell you, you have to read Zach's brand new version of Common Sense Investing. You'll learn how to protect your retirement against loss, but still participate in market gains. Call now, get your free copy, 866-779-RISK. That's 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Bulwark Capital Management's a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we're back at it. Thank you for sticking with us through the break. While we're on break, I was just pulling up Elon Musk's Twitter feed. We're going to get to the next segment, but this is just unbelievable. This is so bizarre. He's sticking to his guns, saying he's got a private buyout confirmed, and he said the reason he wants to go private is because it ends negative propaganda from shorts. Now, just hold on a second. We are talking about a company who's had a meteoric stock rise. The stock is trading at just under 7x sales for a manufacturing company that's burning $5 billion a year. Propaganda from the valuation on this stock is so ridiculous. Maybe the guy's got a mental health problem. This is so bizarre. If you applied that valuation metric to a General Motors, and I'm not saying you should, but I'm just saying if you did, General Motors would be worth 6.5x what it currently is. I mean, this is insane. Does he have a lot of short sellers? Yeah, he's got a lot of short sellers. He's burning $5 billion a year in cash. He's got very questionable accounting going on that isn't taken into consideration. Research and development or CapEx spending, and he makes up accounting terms, or their accountant does, or their chief financial officer makes up accounting terms like what did he call it? It was operational free cash flow, something that just that doesn't even exist in terms of GAAP accounting. I'll try to stick to topic. This is just too nuts. And the shareholders that are buying this stock and that don't think anything's, I mean, like I said, I could be wrong. I mean, this just reeks. I think that stock is just going to crater. This is not a recommendation. I personally, as of right now, do not hold any position in the stock. It's just fascinating. And this guy has got an ego that is absolutely out of control. He's out of control in terms of the way that he speaks on Twitter. Called somebody a pedophile the other day. It's just nuts. I've never seen a public CEO act in such an undignified, ridiculous manner and get away with it and drives the stock higher. And all of these lemmings that buy the stock, you ask them, you bring up the cash flow issues, you bring up the delivery. I mean, they've got tons of issues. Phenomenal car. Brilliant guy. Right? I want to reiterate that. But you bring up these issues to people who are a fan of the stock, and their only comeback is Musk is brilliant. Musk is just so much smarter than everybody else. You know, I've heard this talk before. They said the same thing about Jeff Skilling, who happened to be the CFO and then at the end, the CEO of Enron. They said the same thing about Bernie Ebers, the head of WorldCom. What did those end up being? Frauds. They said the same thing about Dennis Kozlowski, head of Tyco, fraud. It reeks. It reeks. If you're in the stock, be very, very careful. If you want to hold a small percentage of it as a home run swing, all that, I mean, I don't understand it. You've got the most highly valued vehicle manufacturer literally in history. I mean, it's a manufacturing company for crying out loud. They're not going to have Apple-like margins. And everybody tries to compare it to Amazon. It's not Amazon, right? Amazon builds a factory, a website, and every new client that they bring on, every new Prime member, is instantly accretive, right? They've already sunk the cost, and then every new person they bring on or shops on the platform is profit, right? You basically have a one-time investment. I mean, there's ongoing costs. But with cars, the reason why manufacturing is so hard is every single car you produce is going to cost you between, you know, the cost estimates on Tesla's cars are somewhere between $35,000 on the low end for the Model 3, which I actually think is more expensive than that. And on the high end of the Model S, you're looking at $70,000 to $80,000. That's what you've got to put up just to build the car. and then you're hoping for a gross margin around 15%, and you've got a valuation, like, the whole thing is just nuts. But I mean, it fits right in with Ocasio-Cortez. I just feel like the world has just lost its mind. And I can assure you, right? If you guys listen to the show, you know that I think that odds are the market probably goes higher from here, but it doesn't mean that we're not defensive. Because what I'm telling you is, when you look around at the world like this, and we're going to get into valuations later, when you look around at the world like this, this doesn't last, guys. This is insane. Almost everything is off the rails. And at the same time, valuations are at all-time highs. And like I've said before on the show, I'm a big fan of a lot of things that Trump is doing, but if you think Trump can stop this, I got a bridge to sell you. Be a fan of Trump. Don't bet your livelihood on it. Don't bet your retirement on it. Be safe. And if you don't know how to be safe, call us. And if you think bonds are going to keep you safe, look at the performance of bonds over the last 2.5 years. Anyway, here I go again. But if you do want to call us, if you want to get our booklet, if you want to call 866-779-RISK, you can talk to me directly. We can set up a phone consultation meeting. Okay, so let's get into the next segment. Read a brilliant piece by a guy that I am a fan of named Ben Hunt, Dr. Ben Hunt. And he referenced a poem by W.B. Yeats, which is called The Second Coming. And I would encourage everybody to go out and read this. Go pull it up on your phone. Maybe you're sitting outside in the yard. But pull it up. The Second Coming by W.B. Yeats. He wrote it in 1919. And it's an eerie description of where I believe that we're at today. And there's a line in the first stanza of the poem, which says, things fall apart, the center cannot hold. And what W.B. Yeats, and I'm not a poem expert by any stretch of the imagination. I haven't studied all the works of W.B. Yeats. From the distance, I'm a fan of his writing. I think he's a brilliant writer, a brilliant poet. But I've always loved that line, things fall apart, the center cannot hold. And what he's referencing is the inevitable trajectory of civilizations. And what I mean by that is you see the rise and fall of empires, and they always follow, contrary to our liberal friends who don't seem to be interested in history at all, these things follow patterns, right? We've said it on the show before. History doesn't repeat itself, but it often rhymes. And what we see when the center cannot hold, when a civilization is nearing or an empire is nearing, you know, collapse or a state of lethargy or regression, is the polarization of that society. That the center, the hallmark, the middle of the road voters that have been, again, the hallmark of that society, that middle doesn't hold. It lets go. And where you have a voting block that looks like a bell-shaped curve, meaning the vast majorities of the people, whether on the right or the left, they're moderates, they're in the middle. Right? What you get is what we call a when the center is giving way and the center cannot hold, we go from a bell-shaped curve to what we call a bimodal distribution, meaning a chart that looks like an M. And if you're interested in what I'm talking about, and if you want to see this in person, I've actually got the chart that models voters. And it displays it in a graph so you can see this bimodal distribution, how it's changed so drastically just since 1994, that the bulk of voters, the distribution of Republicans and Democrats really hasn't changed a whole lot, but that where they're at located on the spectrum is completely changed. We no longer have a bell-shaped curve. We've got this M-shaped curve, this bimodal distribution where the majority of voters are on the extremes. Or what's identified as the extremes. And what that gives way to, the reason why that's a sign of lethargy in an empire or an erosion of power, is because what you end up getting is not one party dominating the other, actually trading hands back and forth, but you get extremists. Now, the funny thing is they hold Donald Trump as extreme right. I don't think Donald Trump is. I think Donald Trump's slightly to the left of JFK. This is a media war against him. But God forbid he can't hold. God forbid he doesn't win in 2020. And I'm saying that because I've got a little girl. I'm married. There are things about Donald Trump that I find absolutely repugnant. Okay, I want to be very clear about that. It's not the candidate I would have drawn up. At the same time, I really think he's doing the best he can for the most part. I do not like the budget deficits and the debt scenario, but I think he's doing the best he can with what he's got. Right? I think that he's doing the best he can to promote capitalism and free markets and all the things that we love and hold dear. Okay, so I'm not beating up on him. But the answer, if he doesn't win, or if God forbid we go into recession before 2020, which it looks to me like we will, right? I don't know the numbers on it, but the numbers for presidents getting reelected in the midst of a recession are not good. And that's important to keep in mind, people, because as of August 22nd, this month, this will be the longest bull market and the longest expansion in U.S. history. Okay, so by any measure, we are extraordinarily long in the tooth. But getting back to the W.B. Yeats poem, why this is scary to me and why I think it's so prescient is because look at Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Ocasio-Cortez, I think I said that right. Hyphenated names, right? Look at Cynthia Nixon. Bernie Sanders was nearly a self-avowed socialist that spent his honeymoon in Moscow in 86 when the Berlin Wall was up and we were full tilt, you know, Mikhail Gorbachev, Politburo, communism still. He almost won the Democratic National nomination. Look at those extremists. The answer back, if God forbid they win against Trump, is going to be a far leftist. The center is not holding. And that might bifurcate us further. Some of you, that might fire up. You sit there and go, yeah, we're finally getting down to the mattresses and we're going after it. What I'm telling you from a historical perspective, and it's one of the things that we urge caution and diversification with our clients so much, is this isn't good. This isn't good for any of us. And I don't want to scare anybody, but if you're rolling along and you're Trump on the Trump train and you see markets going up and you're all in and you're loving it and this is the rebirth of America, you guys, you have to think with your head. And if you don't know how to properly position your portfolio and secure your future, give us a call. 866-779-RISK. Because I am telling you, this ain't going to be good. It ain't going to be pretty. And it's coming. And if I'm wrong, right? I don't have God's ear. I'm not the ultimate arbiter of truth. I don't have a crystal ball. But I'll tell you what, we saw the housing bubble coming plain as day. We were one of the few people that did. Even though everybody claims they saw it coming now, and then you're like, okay, well, if everybody saw it coming, why'd everybody get their portfolios cut in half? We actually made money during the Great Recession. By God's grace, I'm not saying that in an arrogant way or a bragging way. But it's magnitudes worse. The scenarios, the excesses, the interest rate policies, all these different things. It's magnitudes worse than it was in 08, 09. And no matter how much Trump juices the economy, it's not going to slow that down. We're going to pay this bill, and it's going to be sooner rather than later. And if you're not properly positioned for it, you know, when you bring up things like 70, 80% losses in the market as being a possibility, people roll their eyes and they laugh at you. You know what? They laughed at me in 2007 when we got defensively positioned and because we thought the housing market was going to collapse. You know what they told me? Housing can't go down across the United States all at the same time. It's never happened before. Do you know why it had never happened before? Because the government didn't mandate that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac had 50% exposure to subprime loans. Meaning that all too often in economics, and we've referenced this on the show before, all too often in economics, we sit there and say, because something has not happened, it means that it can't happen. It's not possible. The problem with that and the philosophical fallacy built into that statement or that type of thinking is that those things haven't occurred before. because we weren't doing these things, right? We weren't doing these inputs. We weren't running trillion and trillion and a half dollar deficits. We didn't have $22 trillion in debt, approaching $22 trillion in debt, and a $20 trillion economy. We didn't have 115% debt to GDP. We didn't have this type of leverage in corporate America. We didn't have global debt at 330% to GDP. So when you tell me that these things haven't happened in the past, it's just like the housing market. I sit there and go, you know what? That's a ridiculously foolish argument to use. If you don't think that catastrophic generational losses can happen in the investment world, just go look at 1929. 85%, the S&P 500, the equivalent of the S&P 500 at that time, fell 85%. It did not recover those highs until the 1950s, over 20 years. For a more recent example, the Nikkei, the Japanese stock market in 1989, hit a high right around 45,000. Today, it's in the mid-20s. It's still 30 years later. Do you know why that happened to Japan? Too much debt. And now we're seeing the political bifurcation. The middle cannot hold. This poem by W.B. Yeats. And Ben Hunt, brilliant guy, writes a newsletter called Epsilon Theory. If you're a finance geek, if you're a finance nerd like I am, and that's why you're listening to the show, look up Epsilon Theory. It's a phenomenal newsletter, great insight. Ben's a brilliant guy. I've actually tried to get him on the show a couple times with no luck yet. Yet. Doesn't mean we're giving up. But no, it's a fascinating poem. I'd encourage you to read it and then and think about it. Reflect on that and apply it to society today. And I know it's hard to say, right? Everybody wants to make money in a bull market. But here's what I can tell you. If you're relying on the traditional stock to bond portfolio mix, and we say this on the show all the time, it's probably not news to you. And if you think bonds are going to protect you, just go look at the bond performance over the last 2 years. The safest part of your portfolio should not lose money over a 2.5 year period. On top of that, you should not be paying an advisor for the safest part of your portfolio to be losing money over a 2.5 year period. This is coming from a guy that's worked in the investment banking side of things, worked for a mutual fund company, Russell Investments, local firm, a lot of great people there, worked at Wells Fargo Advisors, AG Edwards. I am telling you, the way that they manage money, it's going to get you wrecked. I've worked there. I know how they put the portfolios together. I know the philosophy, modern portfolio theory. And just one big thing to point out is modern portfolio theory was birthed in a time where we had, you know, close to generational highs in interest rates. So this whole idea that bonds and stocks can go up together, that game's over. Yeah, the stock market's got me concerned, but the bond market's even worse. Anyway, we've talked about that stuff at great length. But and if these things concern you, if they interest you, if you're not convinced that your advisor is doing a good enough job to hedge against these strategies, if he doesn't have protect, you know, if we're not talking about security and an alternative for bond, if your advisor hasn't talked to you about an alternative for bonds, you need a new advisor. And you can tell him I said that. And if I have had one client take me up on this to this point, one client in my career, I'll get on the phone with the advisor. I love talking to these guys. They always come in with their chest puffed out like they're going to teach this young kid. And again, it's not arrogance. But these advisors, we've got to understand who we're dealing with. These advisors have been taught how to sell financial securities. They just do what the firm tells them to do. Not bad guys, great guys. But it's not going to work. And it's not going to work because the center isn't holding. Fundamental aspects of this country are shifting right below our feet. Things are changing. And we need to wake up. And you need to take action. And if you're interested in what we're talking about, if what I'm talking about and what I'm saying, if that W.B. Yeats poem rings true to you, call us. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Because I firmly believe that within the next short period of time, maybe that's 3 years, maybe it's five, maybe it's 10, but in our lifetimes, in a next fairly compact segment of time, we will experience economic disruptions that rival the Great Depression. I truly believe that. Call me an extremist. I've been laughed out before, as I referenced in 2007. Literally got laughed out of the room by a portfolio manager who ran a $3 billion fund. And within 14 months, that fund went bust. So I'm used to it. I'll take the bullets. That's fine. It's like the people that told me I was a hack because we were advocating our bond replacement strategies using those fixed indexed annuities, the dirtiest word in investing. And those things have been averaging between 8 to 9% a year since then. The outperformance with bonds is ridiculous, and we're doing it with a principal or with a portfolio that's locking in its value every year or every other year, and it's guaranteed against loss with no advisor fee. So they can say whatever they want. I just look at them and go, hey, let's talk performance. Let's talk track record. Let's talk cost. Let's talk risk exposure. So if that interests you, again, give us a call. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. You can also go to the website at knowyourriskradio.com. Follow us on Twitter at KYR Radio. And that bimodal distribution about the political center in this country, you know, how it's changed just since 1994. I'm going to include that graph in our newsletter, which you can also sign up for completely free of charge, no obligation. Don't sell your information, none of that stuff. But you can get our newsletter for free at bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com, and or you just Google Bulwark, B-U-L-W-A-R-K. Go to our website, sign up for the free newsletter. Anyway, we got to run. Got a couple segments coming up. Don't have as much time left as we need. We really needed 2 hours today, Darren. Why don't you dial us up 2 hours? Anyway, thank you so much for listening. We'll be right back. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Do better in bull markets. Do better in bear markets. Pay less fees in all markets. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management. You can subscribe to Zach's free newsletter, The Bulwark Insider Report, at knowyourriskradio.com.
Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. So why risk it? Hey, it's Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer of Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. Call now and get our brand new version of Common Sense Investing. It's our complimentary booklet that shows you how you can protect your retirement portfolio against loss, but still participate in market gains. Safety doesn't have to mean lower returns. Our clients have increased their returns while being insured against loss. And like our client Dory Monson says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning.
I am indeed a client, Zach, and I got to tell you, you have to read Zach's brand new version of Common Sense Investing. You'll learn how to protect your retirement against loss, but still participate in market gains. Call now, get your free copy, 866-779-RISK. That's 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Bulwark Capital Management's a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back to the show. Thank you for sticking with us. And if you just joined us, buckle up because we're going at it hard today. And want to get right into this next segment. We're going to actually combine. I ran a little over on the previous couple segments, so we're going to have to combine these segments. But most importantly, I want to talk about currency wars. One of the things, the last 10 years have been incredibly educating and profound in terms of finance. We have seen central banks have interactions with markets that has never, we didn't even think were possible, right? Do you know the largest shareholder of Apple stock currently is the Swiss National Bank? And they bought that stock with money they printed. It's staggering. And they've been buying stocks left and right with printed money. You know what we call that? It's a Ponzi scheme. This is a Ponzi scheme on an international level. And the crazy thing is it go on for a while. Everybody goes, we don't have inflation. We absolutely have inflation. It's just stuck in financial assets. There's no question about it. But as we started watching these unprecedented moves of central bankers and governments with quantitative easing and all this crazy stuff and negative yields, and they hacked the markets. So I spent the first probably 3 to 4 years of this whole period of time going, what is this? This is some kind of Frankenstein market. We no longer have price discovery because prices are so distorted by central banks. One of my favorite questions is, hey, Do you know what the yield on a 10-year Italian debt or 10-year Spanish sovereign debt is? Somebody goes, oh, yeah, it's such a... And I go, no, it's not. And they go, yeah, it is. I looked it right here. And I go, no. I go, 98% of that debt issuance is being bought by the ECB, the European Central Bank. We don't know what the yields are. Because there's been no price discovery. And price discovery is that mechanism when we have an asset or a bond or a stock and we throw it in the middle of a market. That market, especially a big liquid free market, will figure out what the real value of that is in a hurry. Markets are incredible about that. That's what socialists don't understand. You can't beat a market. It's beautiful. It can be tough at times. It's got its downside. Nothing's perfect. But in terms of allocating resources, nothing's better than a market. But we don't have one. We just don't. And that's still going on today. When central bankers are playing this big of a role in economies and markets, you don't know what the prices are. When the Swiss National Bank is buying hundreds of billions of dollars worth of stock on the U.S. stock exchanges with money they've printed out of thin air, what are the price of those stocks? We don't know. We really don't. And that's what ticks me off when I hear these financial advisors saying, well, this is what's going to happen. Your portfolio is going to grow by that much. They're basing though all of those projections, your financial plan that you got at home. If you're listening to that and you're like, well, I got a retirement plan. Great. It's worth the paper it's written on. And that's not me denigrating them or anything. This goes back into what we were talking about in the last segment. If we're doing things differently than we've always done them, how can we possibly expect the average outcome? It doesn't work. It's like running around with a gun and playing Russian roulette with yourself all the time and saying, well, I've never been shot by a gun before. Well, maybe that's because you weren't playing Russian roulette. And maybe that's an extreme example, but you get my point. So anyway, one of the things that we sat there and I still do to this day, scratched my head and just went, if this can go, if central banks can just print money and buy assets, when can it stop? It's theoretically, if they just have to print the money out of thin air, it can go as long as they want it to, right? Now, we know through financial history that this, just like the housing bubble was the same thing. I remember people going, well, what's going to cause that? And I go, you know what? I don't really know. But at some point, this trend, this endless trend of higher house prices equaling more people wanting to buy houses, equaling higher house prices even still, right? That chain, that reflexive cycle, it tips. Nobody really can forecast why. And the same reflexive thing that drove an asset up drives it down. And you get into what we call a negative feedback loop. So right now, markets have been in a positive feedback loop. When you have that inflection point, when things tip over the other side, you get in a negative feedback loop. And the endless run higher of asset prices becomes the endless run lower. And we've sat there and just worked on it and researched and graphed and built models and tried to figure it out. And the thing I kept coming back to, and it's the thing I believe the most, when does this end? This ends when currency wars begin. And why do I say it's a currency war? Echoing Jim Rickard's book, Currency Wars, good read, by the way. Don't agree with everything in it, but a good read. Because right now, central bankers are obsessed with inflation. They want to depress the price of their currency so buying goods from their country is cheaper, right? It's an easy way to artificially jigger up GDP. Artificial boost for the economy. And since they've, quote unquote, gotten us out of the Great Recession and the great win of central banks and all this, they believe in this stuff even more. So the question is how long can they keep it up? And again, getting back to what I was just saying, the answer we kept coming to was they can keep it up until central banks are no longer concerned about deflation and become concerned about inflation, concerned about decreasing currency valuations. Because then they have to defend their currency, right? And that whole reflexive spot cycle spins out of control. Why is that prescient today? We've talked about this on the show before, but why is it prescient today? Because you got a guy that looks really unstable in Erdogan in Turkey, right? Trump slaps tariffs on them and their currency plummets. Then you look at Venezuela running at close to, I want to say, anyway, inflation is just out of control. You look at China's currency getting hit. Then you're reading about these tariff exchanges back and forth. And you guys know my thoughts on the tariffs. I think it's a lot of media hype. The only way you get somebody to do free trade, if they currently have tariffs on your stuff, is threatening tariffs. I don't want to get back into that. But really interesting article came out the other day that caught my eye. And it was that Trump is considering selling dollars in a retaliatory effort against China. Because China's selling their currency, trying to make the price of the dollar go up to make us less competitive. That's one of the ways that they're fighting back. And the minute he announced the Chinese tariffs, that same day, that same hour, I put out, get ready for China to start dumping the yuan. Sure enough, 24 hours later, they announced the yuan had dropped in price and the PBOC, the People's Bank of China, had begun open market operations trying to depress the price of the yuan. I don't know if it was open market operations, but anyway, that's the gist of it. And in a retaliatory effort, Trump was going to dump dollars, push the price of the dollars up, push the price of the yuan, or push the price of dollars down, push the price of the yuan up. Because currencies are balanced against each other. That's how we value currencies, right? It's all relative. And for years, I've said, you know, this is going to lead to currency wars. People are doing this. This is going to lead to currency wars. And sure enough, I'm not calling, I'm not predicting, but it looks very much like that's starting to happen, which really freaks me out because it was so reminiscent of 2007. I remember when Countrywide went down, I went, holy smokes, am I right? Is this real estate bubble imploding? And we were obviously positioned for it because that's what we believed was going to happen, and we believed we needed to protect our clients' assets at that time. But it's still wild to see it unfolding. So then we fast forward to today. I have that same feeling reading these currency stories, sitting there going, whoa, are we right? Are currency wars heating up? And it seems inevitable. But when you see these things start to unfold, it's an eerie feeling. And it's something that as investors that we got to pay attention to, because your favorite company's earnings, you look at that, you got to understand that is not the dog. Asset prices are the tail, right? It's not the dog. It's the tail. All of these earnings reports and company trajectories, you start getting currency wars heating up and real inflation, real currency devaluation picking up, those earnings go right out the window. I'm just telling you. It's going to be ugly. And, you know, it's one of those things where I literally pray. I literally hope I'm wrong. I really do. People are like, oh, isn't that bad for your clients? No, it's not. It'd be good for our clients because we're positioned in such a way that we're going to be well off regardless of what happens. If the markets keep going up and asset prices continue higher, great. We'll make money. But if it doesn't, if the center can't hold, if things do what they inevitably have to do, we're going to be okay. Can you say the same thing? And if you can't, give us a call. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. We can set up a phone consultation. We can meet in person. No sales tricks, no gimmicks. I hope that comes across in the show. I hope you glean that from Dory Monson sponsoring us. I feel like he's got a pretty good name and reputation. But we're truly there to be fiduciaries of our clients' money and protect from the inevitable that we see coming down the pipe. And also set up in such a way that they win either way. So anyway, give us a call. Go to the website, knowyourriskradio.com. Look forward to talking to more of you. We got to run out of time, but we'll be back next week. Have a blessed weekend and a safe week. We'll see you next week. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com. Tune in next week to Know Your Risk Radio with your host, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.